Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
Winter Film Fest Federation. A whole month of movies with prominent scenes and video stores. We got VHS tapes. We got 90s indie cinema. We got underappreciated women filmmakers. Hey, it's the 90s. This week, on the final episode of the first ever Stone Cold Ryan's Film Fest Federation, we need to talk about Kevin. Because we watched Kevin Smith's 2022 Return to the Quick Stop, Clerks 3. Dante and Randall are back, but this time, old age, legacy, and NFTs are what stands in their way. Cody joins us to talk about our rocky but heartfelt history with the man in the trench coat. Are you ready for a Royal Rumble in this convenience store?
I'm not even supposed to be here today!
Hello and welcome to the last entry in Stone Cold Ryan's Winter Film Fest Federation, a month of movies with prominent scenes in video stores, aka, hey, it's the 90s. And yeah, it's my little film festival I wanted to do, you know, because the groundhog told us to do it, or not the groundhog told us to do it, the groundhog said it's still winter, so it's canon. Anyway, I'm Ryan, and you know, from this, and join me on this last episode is, you know, as always, is our head convenient clerk himself, Dave.
Snoochie Boochies, Ryan.
Snoochie Boochies, David. We got Michael as well. Snoochie Boochies to yourself.
Snoochie Boochies to you, Ryan.
Thank you. And joining us from the wasteland, another fellow, you know, that may have been hanging out around the store, you know, selling his wares. We got Cody.
Snoochie Boochie, Ryan.
We got the core three here.
The core three?
That's a Scream 6 reference.
Oh, and you knew that we would all get that.
Yeah, so we would
call.
All know.
Good call, David.
nothing.
Well, I just watched
you
it.
Fucking
sorry.
Idiot.
But you know we didn't. So why are you referencing it?
We're all just like, I was like going through my head, like, is that from the movie?
I guess I should have just said the original three or whatever.
But there's four of us. What are you talking about?
Why are you making a Scream reference on the Clerks episode?
I'm making pop culture references. This is totally in line
with
the movie.
If you did it like the movies, you would say where it was from. I guess you did do that, but you would say reference. You would say like the core three from Scream 3 or Scream 6. Remember? Okay, sorry. Got you thrown off. I'm all flustered now.
Oh my God! Did you see that move that David did on Ryan? Oh my God!
Okay, now we're back.
It's a full blown reversal. How's he gonna get out of this one?
So we've been doing these movies on, you know, they've been kind of '90s focused, even though there's two of them that aren't. But they're kind of like the end. It was a Be Kind Rewind was the end of an era, the video era. But we're coming all the way back around to basically the genesis, I think, of an important movie, one that's been in the film registry, is Clerks. And you found it, Cody. You know, it must have been 2022 or so. There was a Clerks 3 that came out. So I felt like Kevin Smith has been brought up a lot in this series we've done. Regarding, like, you know, Walking and Talking felt very kind of Clerks, but it's, you know, it didn't really have the splash it did. Same thing with Watermelon Women. And so they come all around to here, and I want to just, like, I feel like we should talk about, like, our feelings
on this
guy.
We need to talk about Kevin.
We need to talk about Kevin, and I feel like, because it was just like, we're doing...
That's a reference from the movie, We Need to Talk About Kevin.
Yeah.
Thank you, Michael.
That one worked, though. I feel like that worked really well.
I haven't even seen that one, but I knew it because it's the title.
And I think it's just kind of like, I just kind of wanted to, like, wrap it all up with this, and then with also the Clerks 3 of the whole thing, and just kind of like, because I feel like it was, for some of us, it was a big movie, or his movies were a lot. And
so I
Yeah.
Should we like go around and talk about like our history with Kevin Smith a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
I want to do that. And yeah. I kind of want to start off because I think I'm the least familiar with Kevin Smith from everybody, or at least
really? I thought maybe you weren't. I thought maybe you were all on board.
Really. Well, my history with Kevin Smith is like I never growing up saw Clerks or Chasing Amy or Dogma. I like had some friends who saw Jay and Silent Bob, and I never liked it. Like it was too much for my little young eyes.
Too vulgar for you or something?
Yeah, like it just wasn't my humor, and I. Remember though, like
you were more sophisticated.
No, I wasn't more sophisticated.
Well, he was growing up in the south of France.
Yeah,
okay. It was more like Jay looked and acted like the people that beat me up, like as a kid.
Ah, jeez.
So rough.
So is snoochie boochie's kind of like a trigger phrase for you, or
a little bit. But. In high school, my dad one time, like we used to watch movies on the weekends, and one time he was like, "Oh yeah, I was reading about this movie, like Clerks, supposed to be good," and so we watched it. And I remember thinking like, "Oh, that movie's cool." And then in college, Zach and Miri came out, and I remember like hearing like, "Oh, it's Kevin Smith," and like in my head he was like, "It's like this is his first movie not in his cinematic universe." I remember that being interesting, and I saw it, and I like Zach and Mary. And then I started listening to Smodcast. And Smodcast, like early Smodcast, like 2008, 2009, is when that's like how I got on board with Kevin Smith, was like the podcast stuff. Wow. And that, like later after that, I went back and watched some of his movies. At the time, I really liked Chasing Amy and Dogma. Clerks. I never saw Clerks 2 until this show. But yeah, so I totally came at it from like a podcast point of view. Obviously, we'll talk about where Kevin Smith like went after 2008, 2009, but that was kind of my jumping off point. But so I guess I said to say like I had formative experiences with him and like in college, like for sure. But I think for some of you folks, it might go deeper than that.
Maybe. I mean, that's why I didn't really realize. I thought maybe you were, like, for me, it's like, who listens to the fucking podcast if you weren't, like, into his thing? Like, that's my thinking, like, behind it. Like,
well,
like, no
I mean, at
this.
That point, I liked Clerks and I liked Zach and Miri.
Yeah, what do you think, like, what was kind of capturing your imagination with the pod, like, I guess, or what was keeping you
Well, I really liked podcasts, so I was, I remember early on, like, in 2008, it's not like there was a million podcasts
out
there.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's
and this was, like, someone that... One that was floated up to the top, and I was like, "Oh, Kevin Smith! Like he made movies. I'll check him out." And it was great. Like it was like early Smodcast is super good. Like especially for the time, like it sounded so different than anything else.
Well, what's kind of fun too is, I mean, I don't know. Like Marc Maron has had like you know these kind of like popular resurgence always been there, but he always references because everyone's like, "Oh, you were like the first podcast or whatever," and he's like, "No, Kevin Smith was doing it before me and all this stuff." Like I'm so glad it's like so cool that he like does that. You know, he's like, "There's a couple guys like Kevin was doing it and stuff." So
yeah. I mean, I feel like in 2008, like my podcast feed was like 1UP Radio, like a video game podcast that doesn't exist anymore. This American Life and Smodcast.
And This American Life's not really even a podcast, really. It's a radio show turned into a podcast, really.
Posers.
They're double dipping. They're double dipping over there. Well, that's interesting. Interesting perspective for that. Okay, well, let's go to... I know more about... Actually, I know a lot about these guys, but let's just state it. Let's see. Cody, what about you? What about your exposure?
Yeah, I grew up a big Kevin Smith fan. I saw Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back in the theaters. At that point, I'd already watched, you know, Mallrats, Dogma, Chasing Amy, and Clerks and all that. So I was very excited for that to come out.
It was like the Avengers.
It was like the Avengers, because here's the thing. They're all coming back together, and it's an event, you know? So I saw that in seventh grade. Watched Clerks in theaters.
I remember in high school watching his Evening with Kevin Smith's and Evening Harbor.
Oh, yeah.
I would put those in just talk about like the OG podcasting. I would put those 3-hour, you know, interview documentaries, whatever you want to call them, concert movies.
Stand-up specials.
They're kind of like a little bit of all of it, really.
I would put those on and just like have them on all the time, like in high school. And I would like fall asleep on the couch with it on. I'd be like reading and have it on. Like I had those stories I have memorized because of having those on all the time in the background. Yeah. So, and then, you know, similarly got into the podcast, listened to Smodcast a ton for a long ass time. It used to be, I used to, you know, take a bus to college, and so I'd have like a 2-hour bus ride there and back, and I'd listen to like two episodes, you know, every trip essentially. And, yeah, so big fan. I'll say that, big fan. I can sum it up pretty quick.
Yeah. I'll just kind of jump in. Mine was similar, but I feel like I worked a little bit backwards. I think when Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back came out is when I kind of discovered it. I feel like that's like my, and I worked backwards from there, I feel like. And because that was
2001. Yeah. Dogma came out in 99, and I remember it being on constant play on Comedy Central.
Comedy Central.
I think that's how I found it. Was I watched Dogma first,
you know what?
And then went
I
back.
Think so. That might be me too. Seeing that on Comedy Central and then realizing, oh, the same guys are in this type of thing, and then that kind of working backwards, and then moving on to the Smodcast, and for a long time. Yeah.
And What about you, Dave? Yeah. If I recall, back in the pre-Waste time, you had a podcast called Empire Jedi.
Yeah, I think I can echo the same thing that Cody and Ryan said. I think I got into the Kevin Smith verse, the View Askew verse with Dogma. I think that might have been the first.
It had
thing
a lot of celebrities
I
in
saw.
It, you know, a lot of big. So it was like a lot of familiar faces in that movie, you know.
Yeah, and I kind of, you know, and I went and discovered everything else, and just like honestly, Kevin Smith was probably one of like the defining people in my late teens, early 20s. Like, he's the reason I do podcasting, probably. He kind of made it seem possible, and loved his movies, obviously. He's probably actually, along with like, I would say The Simpsons and like Mystery Science Theater, probably one of the people that kind of defined my how I think of comedy a little bit, you know what I mean? Also, obviously, Smodcast is a big thing. And it kind of hit me. There was a moment, because I think Mike alluded to it a little earlier, where like around 2008, when Zach and Mary came out, his career took like a big shift, because that movie did not do well, and it kind of changed the course of his life, honestly. And I really, I think I fell off with Kevin Smith in like 2011, 2012-ish, maybe a little later.
Same.
And there was a moment watching Clerks 3. I will say this. I teared up a few times in this movie, but not necessarily from what the movie was doing. It was for other reasons, kind of like meta reasons.
I can't wait to talk about this because I had a similar experience.
It's kind of linked to where his career went, and it kind of, and he's kind of doing this in the movie where he's like contextualizing his career and all that, and like maybe mistakes he's made or whatever. That's the vibe I got, and it kind of got me a little sad that his career took the path that it did. And it's almost like watching, one of the thoughts in my mind, I was like, wow, like he's how low he's kind of come a little bit in my mind. But it's like, I'm wrestling with that, because it's like, that sounds like such a shitty thing to say. It is. I don't know. I guess he just, I feel like Padme, like you're going down a path I can't follow. You know
he went down a different
path, and it just got me thinking, like, it's so bizarre, because like he was, I can say this. He was honestly one of my heroes, like growing up. He was super funny. He seemed like a really good dude. And I'm sure he still is, but it's just like, I don't know. It's hard to put into words a little bit.
I think there's something super, the core of like Kevin Smith's like origin story, especially in Hollywood, is very unique and like straight up inspiring. Like, zero connections, lower to middle class, like middle to lower class background. Just took credit cards out for like $30,000, made a movie and made it. And like, that is so rare. Like, that, you know, he's not like a nephew of a Coppola. There's no like, oh, he was friends with, like, he made a movie that was good, with no, you know, with very, very limited training, you know, very limited schooling on it. And it's like inspiring. It reminds me of, like, he feels like, at least in the beginning of his career, it's like the Blink-182 of filmmakers, kind of, in a way. Where it's like, he'll be the first one to tell you, like, I'm not Scorsese out here. But, like, I got something.
But you could tell it was him. You know what I mean? Like, That's this dude. I could, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that part of him is, you can't take that away from him. And that's cool.
Yeah, and I think even what you guys are talking about, Cody, actually, you were saying something.
I was going to make a joke, so it's the time is passed.
Oh, sorry.
I was going to say snoochie booches. Yeah.
No, it's funny because I think there's some things I, you know, took, because I watched this, and before we get to this movie exactly, but I watched it originally, you know, in theaters, and I was just like, I hate this. Like, it's one of the, like, and I watched it again, and I still don't like a lot of it, but there's things I did write down things I did like, just not to be like a ragging on things, but you're right, Dave. I think, like, thinking about the path, and you just kind of popped something in my head when you were talking about Dave, of like where he's come, and it may be the case of you know, he comes out of the gate and doesn't necessarily have like a big hit again, you know, after Clerks kind of thing, but is being told, and he's someone that's very online, very would read about himself, I'm sure, and probably would take in information like, oh, you're the new guy, you're the next guy, you're doing this, and like the expectations, and just not really reaching them, kind of thing.
People like Ebert were saying, reviewing Chasing Amy, saying like, this is one of the best filmmakers of a generation, kind of thing.
And I think he's someone that like some other filmmakers might not. Like, they're able to not really take that stuff. Maybe they do, and they're able to process it more. But he's someone that very, I think, takes things in. And you know, especially now with, like, fans and stuff, and, like, just spitting out what people want, you know, kind of thing. And I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, it's just, like, I feel like that maybe, like, crushed him eventually, you know?
I think, like, the big thing with him for me as, like, maybe the relative outsider. I mean, I still probably am more familiar with Kevin Smith than most people. Like, it's the weed, like him just, like, after Zach and Miri, he started smoking weed, and, like, you know, people smoke weed, but, like, he is famous for just constantly chain smoking weed. Like, he never came down. Well, and it sounds like
how much it changed, because, like, if you asked me to do a word association with Kevin Smith, like, pre 2008, I would say Clerks. Post 2008, I would say weed.
Yeah. Well, I really did, like, change his in the podcast. You can tell it, like, it took a while. Like, it's not like he was, like, doing heroin or anything, but, like, he stopped being as quick-witted. Like, and his general demeanor was, like, this sort of, like, relaxed, laid-back, like, sharp wit.
He was already there, kind of.
And he kind of, like, switched to this, like, over-the-top cartoony, like, bleh! And that was big thing, like, so I had never seen Clerks 2, and so I watched Clerks 2 before Clerks 3, and, like, one of my... I like Clerks 3 more than you, Ryan, but one of the worst things I think about Clerks 3 is Silent Bob's acting. Like, In Clerks 2, he's like, he's cool. He's like Silent Bob. He's back there. But Clerks 3, he's like, he's a totally different character. He's so over the top and, like, so distracting in every scene. And you can tell he's high. Like, he's obviously looks visibly stoned. And in, like, a lot of the scenes, he's like smoking weed in the scenes.
Was
and,
it like, just me, or did he have, like, a visible, like an excessive tan? Was that just me? Was that the only one who noticed that?
Oh, yeah.
The movie, like, just has no... It's just freaking blown
Yeah,
out,
column A, you know? Column B.
Yeah. There's no... It's... Adam, I think it's... I don't know. It's... I think
and
it's...
It, and it sounds like, things. You know, who knows what happened, but I have heard some... When Cody brought back Clerks 3, he also brought back some news clippings from around the era. And apparently Kevin Smith has, at the time, a few months after Clerks 3 came out, he stopped smoking weed. So I don't know how that's... I think that sounds like, for him, a very positive step, and I'm cautiously optimistic to see, like, where, well, you know, Cody, if you ever bring anything back from Kevin Smith, I'd be curious to see
when it. When I find the fabled vault of the Skewniverse, yeah, I'll make sure to bring it back.
Well, what I was talking about, like, you were saying, like, him changing and Zach and Miri kind of bombing, it's a thing of, like, another expectation thing, because he was being told, like, thinking, like, oh, wow, 40-year-old virgin... killed, knocked up, killed. I'm gonna, this is gonna be like the next one. And then
Even worse than that, because he's like, he opened the door for Judd Apatow in a way.
And the thing is, his peers like Apatow are like now running Hollywood at that time. And now it's now it's like he's nothing, you know, that movie does nothing. And so it's like, I can see that being like putting you maybe in like this sort of depressive state kind of thing. I don't know.
I remember him talking about that on Smodcast, and that that era of Smodcast after his post Zach and Mary, where you're like, it's weird thinking that like, wow, that he's like, you're listening. It's almost like listening to therapy sessions. You know what I mean?
There's not a lot of people like this that we have this much. There could be an AI could just recreate Kevin Smith with all the content there is of him, you know, kind of thing. So I'm just saying, like, there's no one else we can really talk about like this, in my opinion. Is there, like, can you think of like other, they're so,
well, it's because he's so open,
such an open book,
Book and online, and have like documented their whole life. Like, of
he's written like books that are just like blog posts, you know?
Yeah. And I find it interesting and fascinating. And I've still gone and seen the movies, even though I'm like, I'm just like embarrassed most of the time.
It's Yoko Hoser's, so he did after Zach and Mary, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's Red State. He did Tusk, then Yoko Hoser's, then Jan Silent Bob. Jan Silent Bob reboot and Clerks 3. And Yoko Hoser's, I've seen most of those. And Yoko Hoser's is like, maybe the worst, like, professional, you know, in quotes, movie I've ever seen. Like, that has to be, for me, at least what I've seen, like, The Nadir. And that was, like, it was, like, embarrassing, like, watching that movie. And I felt, like, bad about, I don't know. I felt bad for him. And I think, to kind of dip my toes a little bit into the movie we saw this week, I think, like, Kevin Smith kind of knows that. And I think, like, a lot of Clerks, for me, I think like Clerks 3, the Randall and Dante character are, I don't know if this was always the case, but I think in this movie, those are like two parts of his brain.
I think it's
in
always
Clerks
been
3.
That. I think it's all, I think he subconsciously didn't realize, but that's always been the case.
If that's the case, it became,
he says
that metaphor
Brian,
became very clear.
So. Yeah.
It became very clear in this one that it felt like it's two parts of, like, the Dante is the part, the old Kevin Smith in a way, the like pre-weed Kevin Smith maybe, either, or just the Kevin Smith that's like, I want to like do something with my life. I want to be like a filmmaker, and like, man, I've like fucked up. Like I've done some bad stuff. And the Randall character is more the energetic cartoon. Like, let's snoochie booches this, Yoko Hoser's it all the way kind of thing.
And all of that said, we can now start talking about the movie. Which is a return to form. It's a great movie, right? We can
you
all
like
agree.
It.
It's fucking good. I was crying
I
was
curious.
Super
I'm so
touched
curious
by
to hear why you guys like it. Because
I wouldn't say it's a great movie.
I think
but,
it's pretty
yeah.
good. I think it's a great movie for him, and it's a pretty good. I think it's a return to form, especially after having watched Jay and Silent Bob reboot the same night, right before it. You know, before I rolled up in here, I watched this one outside, and I was like, "Oof, this is rough. This looks like it's the worst tendencies he's had for the past, you know, 10 years. Kind of pulling it together." You know, you talked to Ryan about how he's probably more online and interacting with fans, and I think that's both good and bad, because I think what he's leaned into is like, I have people who like what I do, so I'll just keep doing that, I guess. But it's not really challenging him, because another point you made, which is the idea of Judd Apatow, his other peers kind of coming in and then running Hollywood, is you can like, I think that's a really interesting comparison arc to follow, right? Chart Judd Apatow and all the people who he's worked with, and kind of chart their arc of making like kind of not low stakes, but kind of just like, hey, these are comedies and these are not, you know, these are the avenue they're in. And then Kevin Smith, who makes a couple of those, and then he makes a movie that's tackling like, hey, this is about God. God's a main character in this movie. And then it's like, oh, okay, that was weird. And now I'm going to make a meta movie. Yeah. Like, he goes really,
Jersey Girl.
He goes to Jersey Girl. I think he made movies, and maybe his arc was like just too fast, whereas everybody else took longer before they made their This Is the End and stuff. I don't know. It's just a thought that occurred to me. But all that to say, with Jay and Silent Bob reboot, that felt like that, right? It felt like him playing the hits for his fan base. And then Clerks 3 is more like, I'm going to make a movie like I used to make movies with the people who I used to make them, and I'm not going to try and do all that stuff. And by cutting that stuff off, it's not so meta. I mean, it has those, but it's not like Jay and Silent Bob reboot where they turn to the camera and look at you to be like, we're all on the joke, we're all aware. That doesn't happen in this movie. This is more of like this movie's real. This is a real movie, and it is about him, so it has that meta layer, but it's not about the Viewisk universe. It's just about
Cody,
him.
I think, like, I kind of agree with your point, and I think, like, for me, the big thing that makes this work for me, mm-hmm. which I think it does, is, like you're saying, a lot of those, like, Tusk, Yoga Hosers, Jay and Silent Bob reboot, he's playing for, like, this is what the fans want. They're like, wouldn't it be funny if this? Mm-hmm. But I think, like, the germ of Clerks 3, I don't think it's a great movie. I think I'm maybe in the middle between you, but
I think, again, I do think it works. Kevin Smith movie.
But the germ of Clerks 3 is coming from a real point of view. It's coming from, like, I almost died, and I have a lot of feelings about that. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, a unique and strong and different point of view for Kevin Smith that is something we've never seen before from him. It's from a genuine place. And I think, like, for me, Kevin Smith, almost more than his humor, for his movies, the moments of his movies that work for me are his emotional beats. Like, I think he's, like, got a good sense of, like, empathy in his characters sometimes, and a good, I don't know, he's good at pulling some
the
some
best the best part
and, and it's coming from a real place here. It's not coming from, like, wouldn't it be crazy if this, or, like, wouldn't my fans love it. It's like, I almost died and I have some feelings.
The best part of Jay and Silent Bob reboot is the final scene in which Jason Mewes and his daughter's character, played by Kevin Smith's daughter, they have, like, a moment about doing
that's my favorite
dad and daughter stuff. It's the best part of the movie because it's like, hey, this is what I do all day and this is my life, and, like, I'm sharing that with
and
you.
And his two most important people in his life, basically.
And
right there.
Yes. And it's like that, I was like, damn.
That's what I said.
I saw that and I was like, shit, this, like, okay, I've come back around on this movie because this is a really good nugget. This, like, this is, if this is the core of this movie, it wasn't as, you know, fully revealed earlier, but this is worth it. This right here. And then going into Clerks 3, the whole movie is trying to be that nugget as a movie. It's trying to explore the whole, it's just being like, hey, let's be emotionally honest this whole time and not just save it for the end. And I think that's what makes Clerks 3 work really well.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I like what you guys are saying. But, I mean, okay, so I know that, Mike, you didn't like this, but you rewatched Clerks 2, or you watched it for the first time. And I rewatched it as well, because I hadn't seen it probably in like 15 years. And I would say it is rough. It's a rough movie. But what you guys are saying about this emotional thing, I think the last 10 minutes of that movie is some of the best stuff he's ever done. And I think it makes the whole movie worth it, even though there's fucking racist, homophobic shit throughout the whole damn movie. That end of the movie, I think, makes it worth it. Because that whole, it's basically from that jail cell scene to the end.
Yeah.
It's like the best stuff he's ever done, I think, with those two characters. And to me, he did all that. Like this movie is all that whole sequence. Basically.
I think it's different. I think he's hitting different beats.
It's more
like I think Clerks 2 is sort of like it's dealing. I mean, he's using these characters like talk about your 20s, 30s, and like 50s. And so I think like Clerks 2 is a lot of it is like learning to be okay with your lot in life, right? Mm-hmm. Like you don't have to be Quentin Tarantino, right? It's okay for me to be Kevin Smith. And I think Clerks 3 is literally dealing with, like, I'm going to die someday, like, and my friends are going to die. Like, I'm getting to that age now where, like, that's a thing that's going to be happening and is starting to happen. And what should I do with the time I have left? Like, I think they're very different
as far as,
like, the beats they're hitting.
At 30 minutes into the podcast, should we touch base on what the movie is? Like just the broad speaking plot points.
Well, we're talking about the whole thing, but yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you go ahead.
I just feel like because we are talking about it, like, right. So it's Clerks 3, 15 years after Clerks 2, we learn pretty quickly that hey, it didn't work out. Unfortunately, Dante's love, you know, played by Rosario Dawson, died.
Probably the best actress of all time in that Clerks 2.
Just so.
Oh yeah,
so
for
good.
Sure. Literally too good to be in the movie.
Well, and listen, when she shows up in Clerks 3, I'm crying.
Really?
But yeah, dude,
I hate it. It kills me. It's like,
dude,
it's like
I liked her.
It was one of the worst scenes in the movie.
We will get to it, you motherfuckers. Let me start talking about what happens in the movie. It starts pretty quickly. We see they're still at the quick stop. Elias is there. He's loving Jesus. He's into crypto. Randall has a heart attack.
Yeah. I hate that.
Yeah. Randall has a heart attack.
Oh my god, this is like a reverse Avatar episode.
go ahead, guys. Sorry.
Randall has a heart attack. and it's Widowmaker heart attack. They save him, and Pelimoto's there. Amy Sedaris's character, she says, "Hey, you know, you're like him. You need to take care of yourself too."
She's doing it. She's going hard.
She's going hard. She's doing such a good job. She's great.
Yeah. She's trying.
She's a dim shining light in this otherwise.
Disagree. She's a great we'll light, but the movie has plenty of other lights.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think she's good.
The movie has
she's
other
the brightest
lights.
Star in the galaxy. Other lights.
She's a dim shining light in the cesspool trash heap of this garbage dump of a
this movie,
steaming
this,
pile.
It's not a Golgothan of a movie. That's Yoga Hosers. Now, so she tells Dante that, hey, after that, the common thing is depression. Like, people come out of these and they have a really hard time living through it. So you need to do whatever you can to keep Randall's spirits up. That means that Randall comes out of it and is like, I want to make a movie because I've done nothing with my life and I should have done something. So the whole movie is them making a movie that is in effect Clerks. And there's a lot of, I think, kind of fun things that happen with that. It's them reshooting these things, and it's always about how when they were younger, these are the things that would happen. And it's sort of told from Randall's point of view. And as it goes on, it becomes, well, it's my movie. It's about me. These are my events. And Dante, there's friction there because Dante feels like, hey, these are actually my life events, not yours. And, you know, it's that, right? It's the process of them making the movie. There's a big stressful fight in the end when Randall tries to set a scene in the movies, which Dante can't go back to because that's where, you know, he met his wife who passed away, who he hasn't been able to move on for 15 years. Then he has a heart attack. Randall goes
and dies.
Before he dies, though, Randall goes back home. He cuts together a version of the movie that's honest to him now, which is that, hey, Dante has always been my Luke Skywalker. He's always been the hero of my story as well. And he shows him his friend. He shows Dante the movie in the hospital bed, hoping that it'll get him out of his heart attack, just like he got out of his earlier in the movie. Unfortunately, that does not happen. Dante is watching from a movie theater. We see him watching Clerks 1 on screen with Rosario Dawson next to him, and then he says, yeah, that's my friend. Like, he made that movie. That's him. And then he dies. And it's the saddest thing you've ever seen.
Yeah, I that hit for me. And the movie keeps going. There's like 20 minutes of the movie.
Maybe not 20
after
minutes.
That.
Maybe not 20 minutes, but there is still like a chunk. There's a funeral.
A coda. Kind
and of. Then yes, there's a funeral, and then we rejoin Randall and Elias.
The fucking kites. It just makes me so
terrible.
It's that the crypto stuff.
No,
is bad,
I agree.
Who cares?
I think you're right. That scene, I think the scene with Randall coming in with the laptop to show the movie is the best thing in the movie.
It's good.
That got me.
It's good. I got my eyes. I you know that like pit of your stomach before you start crying? Mm-hmm. Like that. That's kind of like what happened. And at the end, the last scene of the movie is Randall standing behind the convenience store. It's the same shot for like all the Clerks movies where they like end and they zoom out from the counter, and Randall's standing there. He's like, I wish you were here. And then Dante's just like standing there, but you know, Randall obviously can't see him, and it zooms out. And there was welling, you know, I'm not going to say there were tears streaming, but there was welling. Like I think that was effective, like emotional beats. And I think like, It felt real in a way of like, I feel like Kevin Smith is probably thinking about like, my friends are going to die like in, you know, 20 years, mm-hmm. right? Like I'm probably, this is going to be a thing that I'm going to have to deal with. And I maybe am thinking about a lot. And again, it just, for me, this movie, like a lot of it didn't work. The kite stuff did not work and felt Yoga Hosers-y. But like, there's a germ in this movie of like something. And maybe I'll say, I had never seen Clerks 2, and I watched Clerks 2. You all said, like, oh, you should watch Clerks 2. Like, I'm like, okay. Clerks 2 looks like a real movie. It looks leagues better than this movie. This movie looks like dog shit.
It has energy, too, to it, I think.
It's almost, in a way, this one wraps back around to Clerks 1 to me, where it feels amateurish. Mm-hmm. But Clerks 2 feels like a professional, real movie. And I think that, like, almost works against it in a way, because the core of Clerks 2 for me was awful. I hated it. I like really did not like Clerks 2. Ryan, you talked about like there's like a, you know, problematic capital P stuff going on with this movie. That aside, I thought this movie sucked ass. Like I did not think it was funny. I thought it was like the characters felt like no one, not real people and not fun cartoons. Like they just were all annoying. I didn't really care about them, like at the end buying the nothing.
If I could hazard a guess about that, I think it's because that is the next step that these characters take is not one that Kevin Smith took. So he's like, what would it be like, I guess, for these guys? But he didn't do that. He broke out of it. And so coming back to Clerks 3, where it's like, okay, but let me speak to that original core. That's why it works, because it's real. Clerks 2, I haven't seen in a long time, but I remember liking it a lot. I saw it in theaters. And
yeah, I loved it.
I totally feel you on that, because that was when he still had budgets. He was still in the midst of that, but he was trying to do something that maybe like he just didn't have a good, true emotional hook onto. And then this one he does, because he's lived through a heart attack. He lost his mom. He has friends who are, you know, who have gone through these things. It makes sense that he comes back real quick.
And I think the thing, go ahead.
I just wanted to call attention to David over here saying like, yeah, I welled up. I was crying. Not 20 minutes ago, this guy's like, I was crying because of how bad it is. So which side is it?
No, it was more of like his meta thing.
Well, no, it's both of those things, Cody. Like I think this movie does come from a good place. Like I think, like, yeah, you mentioned the core of it. I think it is there, and it, you know, it's through a weed haze darkly, but it is there. And there are legitimately good moments, and I think it's the moments that with heart. Like, honestly, not counting Rosario Dawson, I think Jeff Anderson is probably the best actor in this movie.
He is great.
So here's like something I was going to say to your point, Cody, that is also to your point, Dave. Clerks, something I think, like, Clerks 2, for me, a lot of what doesn't work about it is because it's so, like, the wrappings around it, it's like you're getting like a wrapper of like, here's the fancy meal, and you open it up and it's like, what the fuck is this inside? And like, the acting is not good. And like, and Jeff Anderson, I think, like, really, like, Jeff Anderson, the guy Brian O'Halloran, Jason Mewes, like, none of these people, I think it seems like, are like going to be in a Scorsese movie anytime soon. Like, they're not like the best actors in the world, but they all have a lot of charisma and like pizzazz.
I don't think that Brian O'Halloran is
Brian
shouldn't
O'Halloran
even exist anymore. It's like
Brian O'Halloran in this movie. You know, every emotional scene he had.
No,
was
that,
like,
that's not what I mean.
Every time Brian O'Halloran is called upon to, like, cry or get emotional in the movie, I was like, I was so embarrassed.
I feel so sorry for him.
But here's the thing, Dave. I'm kind of with you, but for me, what makes Clerks 3 work a little bit more than Clerks 2 is Clerks 3 does kind of like,
I think it's just
my expectations are low, but it's just kind of like, so where Kevin Smith's career is at, the fact that Clerks 3 looks like ass, like it is like not shot well, the fact that the acting's like not good, it reminds me of like Clerks in a way, where like the acting's like uneven, but it's like, I can almost look past it because that, like,
at this point, their eye line should work. Like, they should.
It's
all fucked up.
I didn't notice any
that is
eye
really
line
weird.
Shit. This sounds like if you went to film school, you're going to be upset at it.
Well, no, and just like, okay. One thing that was driving me nuts throughout this entire movie, every single scene had some fucking song playing in the background. I was like, stop with the music.
Why is Lit still playing when he's on the hospital table? Like he forgot to take it off of the, when he, it's like,
I'm like,
I didn't notice that, but
some of these scenes would have played so much better if there was no music.
And it just,
he played the entire Black Parade.
Sentence. It's like, I hate that shit.
There was a lot.
It drove me nuts. When I was watching it, I could picture. I'm like, I know exactly what's going on. He's stoned. He's editing the movie together, and he's like, there should be some like music playing. I feel like it's too quiet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's
not enough
going on.
Stop it.
How effective would it have been if there's like maybe a little bit of an opening song, but really no music until that end song, like that, because that
which
last
end song?
That last
the Pearl
song,
Jam song, dude. Pearl Jam makes me sad every time.
I don't think it's a. Is it?
How
Pearl
good
Jam
is the soundtrack in Clerks 2? It starts off with fucking Talking Heads and you have all kinds
I think
of
this, stuff. I think the soundtrack in Clerks, like, as a playlist, it's cool songs. Yeah. Like, but it's used terribly. But like, that last song where it's like, I'm a boy from New Jersey or whatever
that's nice.
Yeah,
that's
like,
a cool one.
Like if it had been like, if music had been used barely at all, like Clerks 2.
Well, Clerks 1 has a lot of music in it too.
Yes. He
But Clerks 1 and Clerks 2 both do use the music way better. Like it's quiet for a lot of the movie, and then it'll come in kind of at certain points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But here it's just a constant.
It's like twinkling through, and there's like this like that stuff with like him and Tim Rossiero, Rosario Dawson comes in, there's all this. I want to talk about what I like, though. I don't want to talk about shitting.
You sure? Because you're getting real.
You guys are just like, you guys are bringing up things that are just like making my shoulders
hurt. But the things that we like sometimes. All right, tell us what you liked. I want to hear it.
Okay. Well, I agree. Jeff Anderson, I think, He's working his ass off for this script. He makes this dialogue work in both movies. I think, even though he's saying some fucked up shit in the second one, I think he's in the first one too. Yeah. He's like a great actor. I think he should have been. I think he just doesn't want to do it.
No, he definitely doesn't want to do it. He's talked about that.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, friggin' Brian O'Halloran, but oh my gosh, I don't know what's going on with him.
Like dire.
It's like, I'm so sorry. I feel so bad for him. It's like it hurts my eyes. But anyway, I think Jeff Aronson's good. I think Jason's is killing it. There's a really funny scene where he talks about, he thinks that Dante's name was what was it? I wrote it down.
Sergio,
which I think was really funny. I don't know why, but that
I thought
really got
like
me.
Jay and Silent Bob were the only parts of Clerks 2 that I liked, and I feel like Jay like really pops like in both of these movies, like in all three. Like he's like a force of nature that Kevin Smith effectively harnesses.
Like I said, I like the Amy Sedaris, and I think Justin Long's, you know, doing something. He's doing something, and I think that's fun. I agree. I think the end is. I think that the emotional, like, the ideas are there. I think having, I guess maybe I listened to too much of the podcast, but basically all the dialogue in the beginning with Amy Sedaris and him and the heart attack is just him reiterating everything that happened to him with the heart attack. So part of me is like,
I actually like that.
I agree.
Lot. Like,
I think
same. It's all stuff I remember hearing. It's like, my dick's tiny, like, blah, blah. But like, I like that.
I do, and I wish I just wasn't divorced a little bit from like the. I think it would be it would work better for me if I didn't really know the whole thing.
Yeah, I had the same thought.
So I do like that, and I do like the setup for this, and it's like, and I was thinking something too. I was like, I wonder if this would have made a better Clerks 2, actually, like just like them making Clerks. I think maybe. Anyway. What drives me? What else did I have that I liked? I like that Ben showed up for his guy. That was a good.
Oh God! That whole in my notes, I have it in big bold letters. Cameos.
Yeah, I know.
That was that was rough.
That is a rough part, but I do like that Ben was there. I'm happy for. It just makes me stoked to see him. That even that's a rough scene.
He sent in his Zoom file in front of the black curtain.
One thing I mean, it's sort of embarrassing, kind of a sly against the movie, but the kind of most clever dialogue. Is the stuff from Clerks. That's sort of when they're shooting it, I feel like. But I'm like, oh, I like that. Let me see what
else. I love seeing Walt. You gotta have
loved
that.
I love seeing Walt. I love seeing Walt as the egg guy.
Seeing Walt again, and then seeing literally every other extra from the first movie who's still alive come back and do it again. I think there's... Listen, I feel like we've talked about this before. We all love movies about making movies, and this is a movie about making a movie that's about when he made the movie. And
he's casting all his friends
and having all of them back. It's just like, damn, this is there's something like you just look at this and you see it's been fucking 30 years and you see the age on all of these people and how they've aged differently. And then you're just like, yeah, we all are going to die, man. That's what this movie's about.
That's the thing, Cody. I love you keep saying things that I'm agreeing with. So like I love that this is a movie that's all about like older people. Like you don't get that a whole lot. Like it's a movie about people in their 50s. Like. Dealing with, you know, hey, life is still going on in your 50s. Like, it's not all your 20s.
How good looking is fucking... The person that looks the same as Ed, the guy that's...
He looked like Ed O'Halloran?
Is that his name? His last name?
O'Donnell?
Who's Ed?
Ernie O'Donnell?
Ernie. I think. Yeah, Ernie. He's the guy that's like the... he's kind of the jock in the first movie.
Why'd you say Asian design major? What does that have to do with anything? That guy?
Yeah, that guy. He looks exactly the same.
It turns out...
Ernie O'Donnell is like Kevin Smith's like best friend from like high school.
It turns out when you take care of yourself, you age pretty okay.
Yeah, he looks fucking incredible. Like, I'm like, damn. And he's like he has that the sweater on, and I'm like, damn, it looks like he's superimposed in there from the first movie.
Speaking of superimposed from the first movie, there's a lot of times where this movie will, it'll be like, oh, they're shooting the movie, and they'll use footage from the first one, and then that's kind of how the climax, I guess, plays out, right?
They kind of reshoot it. They reshot it, and then at the end is the original.
Yes,
really,
but. I think even earlier in the movie, I feel like there's some stuff. Maybe I just was.
I don't think so. I think they just did a pretty good job, like
of matching sweaters and stuff. Yeah.
I think there is like one or two shots that's the original before we get that laptop scene.
I think so too, but I guess I can't point them out off my memory.
I'm pretty sure.
I think that the recreating scenes could be fun. I think there's a couple moments where they're subverting it in a fun way. But a lot of times it's just we're doing it, you know, like
yeah.
Something I remember do, like there's a cool editing moment where like Dante puts like that like be back in 15 minutes thing, and he ducks down and you're doing the scene with him and the girlfriend yeah. like under the counter. I'm like, oh, well, if there's more shit like that,
the best stuff for me, the stuff that like really worked, like some of my least favorite parts of the movie actually, I would put it there with the kite stuff, is the NFT stuff is like when he is when they're writing the movie and it's just them like saying lines from Clerks, but you know that it was just like 37. Oh, remember when this happened? Like it literally is. Remember when this happened?
It's yeah, literally that's
and they're adding nothing
hits.
To it. But what does work? What parts of it does work are shots like when they're shooting. They're making Clerks and they're shooting Jay and Silent Bob outside of the convenience store. And it's like behind the scenes, like where it's like Jay's like, oh, I don't want to like dance though. Like, can you guys like walk away? Like yeah. There were some funny parts of it. It was like, what about that fucking guy? And it's like just some guy like walking across the street. Like,
that's funny.
I don't think he's watching. And like that to me, I maybe not, but at least in my head canon, that's like stories that probably happened.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Like during the making of Clerks.
They all are.
And that's like, that's, I love that. Like that is like a way to like revisit this without just being, remember this? Like it's bringing something new.
A little bit.
And like humanizing this.
It kind of feels a little half-assed to me a little bit in some ways.
Wow. What's half-assed? Like how?
Because it's like, I don't know, like having, okay, like it's like, why not do everything? Like have like an actual, like we're shooting this on like, with the film and like actually like movie making stuff in there, like having an actual instead
you
of
want
like
the Fablemans,
not even that. Like I'm just saying, like why not have like you know producer stuff going on, like or actually have like real life things or like a real camera thing. They're just shooting on
maxing out credit cards.
He's a fucking like red. He's holding around, walking around with a big fucking red camera on. Kevin is basically, and then they have like the microphone on a hockey stick. This kind of feels like more kid like it's like weird. It's like it sure. feels less, it feels more amateur than the actual when they shot Clerks, in my opinion. Like it doesn't
I almost feel like
should be kids doing this instead of like the way they are.
I almost feel though like that's the making the movie part of this is almost like means to an end for the real story. Like, so you're right. Like I get what you're saying, and like it would be better.
Yeah, I just feel like it's just not enough. Like, like, okay, the thing that drives me nuts is, like, how many times he has his friends in or somebody that he knows to play another silent character. So you have Harley's boyfriend in there, and I'm like, why is he in here,
who?
Basically? Harley's boyfriend is, like, the other... with
he's
Elias
silent bud.
Okay, so this...
Oh, I like
this,
that guy.
This feels like...
I didn't know, like,
yeah,
who
no,
that was.
I think that is... You already called it out, Ryan, which I think is totally legit. If you're too close to all of this stuff, you find stuff that you don't like because you already know what it is. Because I had no idea who that is. When you're talking about walking around with a red camera, I don't know what the fuck that is. Like, I think there's things about where it's the same thing with everything, right? Where when you know how the sausage is made, you don't like it as much.
I bet if I didn't know what NFTs were, that joke might have been a little funny.
But I'm just saying,
maybe.
I think that is a legitimate criticism, which is like when you know what certain things are, you can spot them and you're like, ah, that wasn't as thought out as it could have been. But you know,
I was just like, why? And then why is like Mark? He has like Mark Bernardin in there, like silent. Also, there's so many characters just that do like this. And maybe that's like I was thinking about like, is he trying to do like another Silent Bob kind of thing? Like everyone's Silent Bob. I don't know.
It was weird. Those particular actors, they kind of it almost felt like I have a fan base. Like they know that I do a show called Fat Man Beyond with Mark Bernardin. I got to put him in there somewhere. And it's like I was kind of wrestling with that through the movie because it's.
I was kind of
wrestling with this throughout the movie because it's just like I can't really harp on Kevin Smith for casting his friends in his movies because that's like the genesis of his movies is the Clerks is his casting his friends, so it's like I can't
have him in there. I'm just like just not have him stand there. I just felt embarrassed.
And I don't know if this is true. I only know it from the rehearsal. If you give people lines that you have to pay the money, right? Like. Is the budget for this? Does the budget allow this?
Maybe
to have everybody, which is the same reason I think it's like, oh well, why don't you shoot it really on film? It's like it's probably more expensive and a pain in the ass.
Well, I mean, I'm not talking about the movie. I'm just talking about like just like the outside, like them making the movie. Like, there's no lights hanging. Like, they're not doing anything. Like, it just it doesn't feel like any like a making a movie to me.
Like, I think though, like I, in some ways, I can excuse that because this is Kevin Smith, and like Kevin Smith doesn't give a shit about that.
I know that's just
like
just annoying.
And some of it,
that's
some
what
of
I
it
feel
is
about
like
with the eyelines and stuff.
What,
it's like why
what he's concerned about.
You've been making
with
movies
the story
for
tone.
30 years, like just like what
yeah,
the hell
I mean,
is going
and,
on?
No, and like as far. What I'm saying is I can forgive that as far as like when he's showing Clerks being made and like the low production. What I do not like and I do think is like kind of unacceptable is just how the movie looks and like
there's
it's,
never
it's not
a two shot of characters talking to each other. It's always just
it's one. Horrific. And it, and I
hate it.
I hope like Kevin Smith maybe in his like now that the haze is lifting, he's ready to be like, hey, maybe like I shouldn't shoot my own movies. Like
he shouldn't edit
maybe
his own
someone,
movies either. Like it's
he shouldn't.
Fucking
well,
nuts.
Maybe if he's not smoking weed, maybe it'll be
yeah,
okay. Because I like the
Clerks
editing
two
in
is
Clerks
editing.
One.
Clerks 2 is good editing too, I think, in a way.
I don't know.
It looks great. I think it's awesome. The beginning of that movie and the end is so good, I think. And it's like some of his best stuff. Anyway, sorry, I don't mean to get mad. I'm just like something. It's just driving me nuts about that stuff. Like
I was right there with you, Ryan.
Because
my arms were firmly crossed.
I'm sorry.
Do you think like some of this is like are your expectations at the end of the day, even subconsciously, maybe higher for Kevin Smith than maybe me?
It could be. I mean, the thing is, you mentioned Cody with Jane and Silent Bob reboot. I saw that and I was like, oh God, this is so much. But then I saw that scene with Harley and Jason and I'm like, oh, this is what the movie's about. And I was just like, oh, this is like, and I realized like, oh, it's about as important people. So there's like things I'm like, okay, I like that. But this one, like, it's just too little too late in my opinion.
Did you like reboot more than this?
I did a lot. Yes. Yeah, I think so. This just, I was like, and the thing is, I think Jeff Anderson's so good in this movie too, and is trying so hard. And I think there's a good idea in there, but I don't know. This doesn't pull it off for me. I feel bad about it. I love that you guys like it though.
I think reboot looks worse, and this is only from a completely inexperienced eye. I'm just like reboot because it feels like it's trying to do so many big things. It looks worse in doing it. Whereas this, I'm like, yeah, this looks like, yeah, it looks empty. That is a good way to say it. A lot of stuff, you're like, what the fuck's going on here? But Clerks 3, you know, I don't notice these eyeline things. I don't notice these lack of characters. I think there's plenty of scenes where people are in the same scene talking to each other, but maybe there isn't. Like,
well, they're never like, I'm saying they're like, never
there's a lot of like, they're like standing looking at the it's like SNL blocking.
I see what you're saying. Yes. Yeah. They're
like,
they're
there's never two characters like in like the same scene, really, except for, you know, it's.
There's a little, actually, the Rosario Dawson scene in the grave is like one of the only ones I can think
of.
Sure.
It's like the only one that kind of cuts to like a side shot or something.
Yeah. And unfortunately, a scene where it should be filled with emotion. That's one of my least,
acoustic
that's one of my most hated scenes in the movie because it's like a scene that should be. He's going to his wife's grave, and then
I don't
what
think
the
Dante
first
says
thing they
word.
Talk about is like, oh, all the people I'm having sex with in heaven.
I like that bit. I like that bit. I thought it was kind of sweet. Like again, I'm just thinking of Kevin Smith and like where he's at in this movie, right? And I think something that might be on his mind is like one day me or my long term spouse is going to die, and like the idea of like thinking like. Man, like that seems like a thing he would think about. Like, man, I wonder, like, is she like having sex with famous people up there? That'd be sick. Like Miles Davis
it felt
and
like Whiplash to me. They go
it's,
in
it's,
like
it
that.
Is. Whiplash? It is, yeah, and I think that's his stoned editing. Like he's not good at pacing this out. But
this movie's
again,
like jazz,
there's
Cody.
There's a jerk.
Maybe that you're right. Maybe
it's like
you're
those jazz cigarettes.
You might be onto something.
Like, the editing is awful and the pacing is awful. It does have emotional whiplash. Again, it's not a great movie, but I do think like. It a lot of this does kind of work because I think it's real shit. It's real shit he's thinking about. It's not and because of that, like it works a little bit. Like that scene, that graveyard scene goes on to have like some embarrassing moments too. Like that scene is almost like an encapsulation of the movie for me.
Brian
like,
O'Halloran crying. Oof.
I'm sorry, Brian. I'm so sorry, Brian.
I know. I feel so bad.
He should have kept that. Maybe he needed more practice.
Hey,
or something.
Listen.
It is what it is.
He
it
looked
is
like
it
someone
is.
Who hadn't acted in 15
and
years.
And here's the thing, guys. You know, ugly crying isn't good looking. You
no,
know,
you're
it's,
right.
It's,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, and he was ugly crying. He was hurt. He was sad.
I like that he was going for it.
He doesn't
like,
have... I clocked this, too. Okay. Like, he doesn't necessarily like even have like really... Like, he might have a couple lines, like, goofy, like, throwaways, but doesn't really even talk until, like... that scene, basically.
Yeah,
like,
he doesn't have much to say.
That's the thing, is there's nothing, he doesn't have much to do other than cry in the movie. It drives me nuts. So it's like,
What? If that's the case, like, let's do the math. If you math it out, like, how many lines he has, and then, you know, all for him to hit the home run at the end, where he's talking about him being his friend.
Where he dies on the
It's
in
fucking
the
worth
bed.
It, I think. And that makes him, it gives him a high hit ratio.
Well, and I think, too, like, that goes back to who these characters are supposed to be. And I think Dante is, like, the Brian O'Hanlon character is, like,
the observer.
The sad, the distant, sad kind of, like, part of Kevin Smith.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It's, I'm so happy it's working for you guys. It's like chalkboard.
It's
I love chalkboard. I love your like shake. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, I'm so happy that you guys are licking it. It's just my neck hurts because I'm fucking flexing out of my chair.
it's one of those things. Yeah, I mean, maybe you're right, Cody. I think you're right that like commenting on like the filmmaking is not fair, but I'm just or like being like, I just think after all this time, like even if you have a low budget, you should be able to fucking make a movie. Like, kids are making movies better than this, I think.
And it's kind of like, there's a part of me that wants, like, it's inexcusable.
Yeah. It
does feel like you mentioned, Ryan, it's like, you've been making movies for 30 years. Like, even if you don't care, it's like, you would think there's a baseline level of competence for certain things, but just isn't
so
here.
Can I posit something? If there is 30 years of this, if there's like, how could you possibly do this? Blah, blah, blah. What? Is there an argument that it's deliberate, that there is purposeful use? There's reasons these things are done this way, to mimic his original style, to do certain things. The whole movie is about him rewriting the movie, making the movie that he made when he made a movie for the first time. Like, it's all about that. It's all cyclical. It all comes back around.
Is there
a way to look at this? And I mean, you have to.
No, because Clerks looks way better than this.
Yeah, exactly.
I haven't seen it in a long time, so I'd just be going off memory. I believe it. I believe it probably works well because, you know, he had specific restrictions making the movie in 1993 that were realistic, and he had to build around it. And this was him trying to recreate those restrictions. And so maybe it doesn't work. But at a
look
certain
at,
point,
just look at like in this movie, the shot of Jay and Silent Bob dancing out in front of the video store.
Looks
it's
so
like beautiful. It's beautiful, like from Clerks One. Yeah. Like the lighting is dynamic. Like there's thoughts
like,
about
okay, like
that.
The guy, the Chewy's gum guy, like, and there's like three people in that scene where there's like you have Dante back there in the background, out of focus. You have the two guys in the front. I'm like, that's a fucking
convenience store. It feels so claustrophobic in Clerks in a way.
And there's so many
because
people
it is,
in that scene
like,
too.
Yeah. Anyway,
I'm just saying like that. Like there's not. If you have three people in this shot, they're all like this in the camera because they're all just like all three people are here because you can't see anything around it.
This is great for the podcast.
Yeah,
for those listening,
I'll stop talking.
He's staring into space right now.
I'll stop talking about that. It's just stuff like that where I was kind of like I think in on paper if you're pitching this, I think it could work. I think it could. I don't think Dante. I mean, I don't. I think Dante dying is the right choice. I don't think Dante having another heart attack the same is the choice.
I think it speaks to what Mike said about it being both him. They're both him.
Yeah.
It's one side of him
lives. Okay,
one side
I like
of him
that.
Dies.
I like that.
And it's like silly and stupid
like
that
annoying,
he has another heart attack, but I think that's fine. Yeah. Like it's okay to be silly and stupid.
Dante has his heart attack. You're saying he had another heart attack.
I'm talking about like also having the but I okay
no because Randall
like
has a heart attack
I do like
and
your
then
idea
Dante
that
has a heart
they're both
attack.
The same guy
and it's the same heart attack they both have Widowmakers that's like the whole
I'm just
point.
Kind of annoyed that like he has a heart attack too like it's like kind of like it's
but then it lets him say that he's not just
work.
His favorite filmmaker he's his friend and I get to cry so fucking hard in my
that chair. Moment got to me Yeah, that moment got to me. The scene at the end, like, if I had to sum this movie up, I would say, like, I can definitely feel the heart, and I think that's the best part of the movie, I think it's just kind of lost in a lot of bad bits and just bad filmmaking, I think.
There's an effective bit with that second heart attack, too, that I liked. It's the moment I said earlier where, like, before you're crying, where, like, the heart, like, the pit of my stomach, bloop, and it's like...
It's a lump in your
So throat. When Randall has the heart attack in the beginning, there's, like, a scene where they're in the hospital, and they go in to see him, and he's, like, there, and he's, like, what the... Like, he's, like, up and at him, kind of, like, oh, my... Like, come on, guys. Like, it's a very dynamic, silly scene. Randall's, like, still being Randall. So Dante has a heart attack. Randall finally gets to, after some stuff, gets in to see him, and he opens the door, and just the contrast, like, Dante's just, like, out, mm-hmm. and he's on, like, tubes and stuff, and it's like, mm-hmm. oh.
Yeah.
And, like, there is, like, an effective, like, movie making beat there where it the difference is
starts playing.
Yeah, boobity.
No, I
when I was a young boy.
That's a fun, oh that's a funny God. That's a funny choice, I think, in the beginning of the movie. But
that I was so mad. One of the maddest I got in this movie is when Randall is having his reckoning and he goes back and he's pissed off. He goes back to the quick stop and he rewrites it. I'm like, just stop with the music. This would be so much more effective if there wasn't music during this scene. It undercuts everything.
Well, one thing, okay, like, this is one I know we're running out of time, but I want to ask, like, Randall finding out, I guess it's just knowing that he cares, but it's sort of like Randall, like, this basically the catalyst of the movie is Randall finding out that Dante got the money from Emma, who's like Kevin's wife, Jen, from the second movie. Which is wild, but get some money basically from her to make the movie. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like this like sudden realization, and then he's like, he does care, you know, kind of thing. And it kind of feels like it's a weird thing to be there. Does that seem
it's weird that it like goes so 180.
And it's like, but it's like, why he should already care that he had in the first place. I don't know. There's something strange.
I don't
about
think
that.
It was him realizing he cared. I think, well, it is weird because it comes in just right at the end after the funeral. I think everything after the funeral you don't truly need.
Well, no, but I'm playing before that. Like when Dante's in the hospital and there's a scene, like you have Randall there. Right,
yeah, because Randall's like going to leave. He's like, I'm going to finish my movie.
Work on my movie. And he's like, but then Elias is like, you gave the money from Jen.
Does that happen?
Elias is like, hey, like, you're over here trying to make, like, your movie. You know what? Like, we're all working on it. And you know what? This is Dante's movie. It's his life. He's the one who, like, got the money to make the movie from his ex-fiance who he hates. And then Randall, like, does, like, such a 180.
I don't remember that happening at all. I thought when she shows up.
It's like
up
after that
end,
conversation, he's like,
I thought when she shows up
then
the
he's
end
busted
the
up about
first time
it.
That Randall knows that that's what happened, which didn't make sense to me.
Elias says it.
And that's when he goes, he does go work on the movie anyway to show it to mm-hmm. Rand. And I guess the idea is like, he finds
that's
out.
When he like re-edits it to be like the story of Brian O'Halloran.
It's just that story beat. Like, I'm like, does this need to be here? Like, I'm just kind of like, I don't get it.
Sometimes
like
it just rolls right over your smooth brain and you don't notice, you know?
It just, that was a bump that hit me one time. And then, and the other thing, and I know I want to get everyone's final thoughts, but it was
we have to rate the video store too.
We have to rate the video store. The goth thing, does that work for you at all?
I love that. I thought that was like super funny.
That he turns into a Satanist.
That was one of my favorite things. I was like enjoying every time they came and just like
and they're getting
wacky,
weirder.
That felt like Kevin Smith, funny Kevin Smith.
It was
stuff.
So insane that when it's supposed to be an emotional scene where he's like, you're insane, Randall. Like, it's not just about you. And it's being delivered
that's
by a guy
the
who
joke,
looks like he's
David.
A member of
what
Kiss.
The fuck are you
I know,
doing?
But
it undercuts the emotion.
Are we supposed to be laughing or crying? I don't know.
You're torn between emotions. You want to laugh, but it's sad.
I'm torn because I'm like, should I just shut this off? It's horrible.
That is oh, now it's horrible. So now it's you got to pick a lane, bro. Having Elias is like one of my notes in here was like when he's giving that speech when he's wearing corpse paint is the funniest fucking thing.
Yeah, but
I love that. I love that he was coming in with like different outfits every scene, like so drastically different. I thought that was fun.
I think this movie could have been made 25% better if Elias was cut entirely.
I hated that character and everything that came with it. It's good.
I like him.
I liked
second
Elias
movie.
It's good. A lot,
he's fine in the second movie, but in this movie, it's just too.
I think
much.
That he had to cut the silent guy, the kites and the NFTs
yes.
and all that.
Good.
The
Lord.
NFT stuff, but yeah.
Oh, anyway, but
that metal stuff hit. I thought it was funny. There's sometimes where I'm like,
yeah,
all right, whatever.
I'm with
but
you.
Then, like, I really think the moment where he's delivering the emotional speech worked. I was just like, this is very fucking funny because this guy's just like, yeah, like when shit goes down, there's no telling what you're gonna look like.
It's true. You're right.
Yeah.
That's just 100%.
That's true. I'll take it.
It's not like he's before I rush to the hospital, I better wash all of this shit off. No,
right. I can't wait to see what Cody is dressed up like when I'm rushed to the hospital with a Widowmaker.
Not showing up, bro. Just letting you turn over. And I'll be like, you know what? He didn't like Clerks 3. He deserves this.
He clearly doesn't care about the dying process or my mortality.
He's really upset when any ghosts show up and talk.
I can get why Cody could get into this. I'm surprised that Mike can get into this movie. It's like,
I'm surprised at you, Michael.
I just don't understand it. I don't understand you. It's just crazy.
I don't understand you.
I mean, again, we're kind of wrapping up. I want to say, if I can summarize thoughts on Clerks 3, my review would be it's complicated. The trappings of this movie are awful. It almost wraps back around to the amateurishness of Clerks 1. There's some parts of this movie, like the kites stuff, some of the acting is embarrassing. But all that said, this is someone earnestly expressing a point of view that's genuine, right? It's not snarky or this is what I should be making, or this is my funny commentary on whatever. It's someone is saying, I almost died. I have a lot of feelings about that. And he's kind of pulling some strings of making me remember things about, you know, past Clerk stuff, and in a way that makes me think about my own life. And it,
no, I agree,
because it's coming from that earnest place. At the end of the day, the needle moves towards the the positive side. I would say this could be a good to great movie if someone else made it. If this was a Empire Strikes Back situation where Kevin Smith was here's all my ideas, this is kind of what I'm working, and then Judd Apatow made the movie or something,
he's done too these days.
Well, just someone else. So, and you know, another a competent filmmaker, you know, made the movie, it'd be a great movie. But anyway, at the end of the day, it does work for me and moves the needle beyond everything else. I would say Clerks 2 onward, I've not liked from Kevin Smith at all. And
you said he liked Zach Amiri, right? That was after.
Yeah, that's true. And I think that came from a little bit of Real Place. He's kind of also about making Clerks. But yeah, for me, that's what makes this movie hit. It's not good. It's not good, but I liked it. And it's certainly not great. It made me cry a little bit, and anything that does that, I can't say is awful.
And do you like the video store in it? I think it's kind of clever that it's a weed store now. It's kind of fun.
I think there's a funny bit. I do think a funny joke in this movie is that Jansan Bob own a weed store. The funny bit is that they're still selling weed it's illegal.
That's
like
funny.
I enjoyed that.
That was fun.
But yeah, the video store, I would say, is it gets points for being cozy. But it does seem like it has a poor selection. All the movies we hear people renting are weird. They sound like things that would be on Best of the Worst on Red Letter Media. And the Randall is a rude clerk. So he chases people out of the store. So this is low. The video store is lower for me than some of our others. I'd probably give this a 5 or a 6 tapes out of 10.
Okay. Oh. Cody, let's hear your final thoughts and also how you rate the video store.
I gotta comment on it feels like an insult that you're like, I get why Cody could like this, but I don't know if that's a compliment. It's fine.
It's maybe a mix of both.
Yeah, that's fair. I like this movie. I was really pleasantly surprised. I think it's the best movie he's made in 15 years. Final thoughts. I think it's a good movie. It's not a great movie. It's a great Kevin Smith movie, like I said, because that's how I feel about it. But it was a good movie. I enjoyed it. And like Mike said, you know, if when something makes you that emotional, it's hard to just completely discount it, because it's like, hey, it had power. There's a lot of movies I really like that don't make me emotional. And most of the time they're not trying, but I think that's just worth mentioning. As for reading the video store, I don't think the video store is actually in service anymore, so I think it's eligible for voting. But as a presence, there is it is fun that it's been converted into a weed store that still just has the tapes up. So
I do like that.
I'm gonna give it.
That weed store.
I'm gonna give it a 420
expensive.
Out of 10.
420 out of 10. Nice. No, yeah, the weed store that they're running, they're like ripping people off. They say like someone buys four joints and it's like $100.
Maybe in Jersey, it's like taxes are crazy.
And I bet
something.
Those things were huge blunts. So I mean, those are, you know,
maybe that was like the top shelf. Like,
well, maybe
it's an ounce per joint.
Oh, I was gonna say maybe they sold them those giant ones, but he doesn't give them the giant one in that moment. Never mind. You can cut this whole bit.
No, that's fine. Go, Dave, go
remember
ahead.
Remember when they
your...
smoked the really big joint and then Jay was like, it needs more weed?
I hate that stuff.
that was maybe my least favorite moment in the movie.
I'm just so, like, I feel like no one is making, like, weed jokes anymore in anything.
Well, and hopefully he's not going to be anymore, you know?
Well, I mean, no one was making crypto jokes, like, when this movie came out. It was already too late for crypto when this came out.
Dave, keep going with your thoughts. And
all right, well, I kind of summed it up a little bit earlier. I was just like, you know, I can feel the heart in the movie, and that's the best part, but it's, you know, it's just lost in bad bits and bad filmmaking. To kind of go back to what I mentioned before, and Cody, you were just like, how could you say you cried during the movie, but also say you hate it? It's kind of, it was almost like I kind of had my own little reckoning watching this movie, because it's just like, I did get really nostalgic because, like I said, Clerks is a really big movie for me. Kevin Smith was a big figure in my life early on, like in my early 20s. And honestly, it was kind of more just tears. It's like, damn, like he's, I really, like he didn't grow. You know what I mean? Like I feel like he had so much potential, and then like Zach and Mary bombed, and he kind of got lost in weed, and he's been lost in that weed haze for 15, 16 years. But it's like, at the same time, it's like, you know, I've thought about this before. I think ultimately I'm like, it's not for me. Like if he's got his fans, and if he wants to cater to his fans, that's fine. But like, I can't help but think, like, if Zach and Mary didn't bomb, or if he handled it in a different way, where his career would have gone. And it's just,
I mean, it's probably the same thing with like Mallrats. You can trace it all back to that.
Do you think like, I know we're wrapping up, but like, is anyone else like kind of cautiously optimistic about him quitting weed now that like maybe, because
yeah,
I'm kind of thinking there's hope, I think,
because,
of,
well,
of
I
him
think, I think
like having another good
movie.
One in him.
I think the seeds of hope are in this movie, because like I said,
right.
I did respond. I got teary-eyed, you know, I had a connection to those characters, and it got, that last scene was well done.
And the
done,
difference
I
between
thought.
That and Yoga Hosers is, it's
yeah.
like not
so
even
if
in the same
still
ballpark.
He still got it in him, I think. I'm excited. Honestly, I'm excited to see where he goes from here.
I always am. There's always a little bit of hope in each one of these. Maybe Yoga Hosers is the only one that was like, eh.
Because, I think,
well,
there's more reason to hope now than ever.
Well, because there was a moment that was poignant to me, and I thought it was delivered poignant. I don't know if you guys stuck around during the credits.
Yeah,
but there was kind
was
of a
fun.
Stinger. He's basically talking directly to the audience. He's just like, hey, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. Like, right. Clerks was in black and white, but for me, it was all in vivid color. Like, I get that Clerks is an important milestone in his life, and like that, you know,
he should have wrote that somehow into the movie. I don't know how, but write that.
He
stuff
said
in
that. He said that like he was like originally this. There was going to be narration at the end of this, and then he says what the narration was going to be. That was like,
yeah, but I'm saying like in the movie, like put like that thought in the movie somehow. You know what I mean?
I think I guess he did it is the whole movie.
It was in the movie.
Is that it's their lives, and they're making a movie about their lives, and it really is them.
It's just, it's a good line, you know? It's a good line.
So I, but anyway, Dante and I'm optimistic.
Writers, the thing you gotta remember. It's all true to the fiction.
I'm optimistic. I went in thinking I would absolutely hate it. I didn't hate this movie. I didn't like it, but I didn't hate it. It did have some good moments. I will say I don't think I really laughed much, but I don't know. But I'm optimistic to see where he goes from here. And the video store, I got to agree with Cody. It's kind of like it's not eligible. It's not actually a video store anymore. And in fact, they have to bring a video into the store to make it a video store.
I do like that it's a weed store themed as a video store, though. I do agree with
that. Yeah, that's a genius play. And weed stores should adopt
it. It is, actually. It is. Right. It really is. Just keep the weed in the tapes, kind of. Like,
why not?
That's fun. Have all kind of like... All kind of weed movies, kind
call
of out,
it,
you know, half baked, high anxiety,
Hollyweed video.
It may not have been great, but like I'm excited to see where he might go from here. So,
I somewhat agree with everything you guys have said. You've been put new light into me a little bit, but
begrudgingly agree.
I think I do like, and I'm known to say that all movies are good. This is, I hate this movie, but I don't. I'm glad it exists. I'm glad it exists. But I love all your replies as points very much. And I love, I'm going to say, I think, you know, Let's say 6 videotapes out of 10, you know, for the video store.
3 out of 5, 6 out of 10. Oh, for the video store. I see. Yes.
Well, I'm glad we watched it. We had a good talk about Kevin. You know, I think we talked about Kevin a lot, and I'm looking forward to what it happened. I'm going to see him all. I'll pay to see this. I'll pay the premium charge of those Fathom events to watch this fucking stuff every time. It doesn't even know. So
yeah,
it was like, what, like $20 to see this movie when I saw it? I don't know. So what are you going to do? Good stuff.
Well, snoochie booches.
Snoochie booches, everybody.
We did it.
Booches,
we did
everybody. Snoochie booches.
Thanks.
A return to form, Cody. Kevin Smith. Thanks for having us.
Well, Funksatoni Todd, it's looking like winter's coming to a close. Yeah. We better get this wrestling ring out of the store so Dave can keep setting up for the Dave's wet, hot American summer, whatever he calls it. I think our little film fest was quite the success. What do you think? Yeah. Maybe next year we can get started a little earlier in the actual winter. Thanks for doing that whole groundhog bit earlier. I think they actually bought it. You cool with bocce ball later?
Yeah!
I love you, Funksatoni Todd.